Empire.
Triple Play Fantasy Baseball Show with D. Mindy, Lil Cheesecake, and Doc starts now.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome in to the Triple Play Fantasy Baseball Show, a proud member of the Empire Media and Empire Media Podcast Network. It's your boy Doc here. Ignore my voice. I lost it yesterday yelling. But you'll notice no D. Mendy here. Maybe we pick him off for good. This could be the sign of some things to come. I hope you're watching, David. I got the normal guy with me. I got Art Tornabene, a.k.a. Lil Cheesecake, the LC, the man in the dungeon. What is going on?
Me, I'm doing just fine. How are you doing tonight, Doc?
You know what? I liked you until you started mimicking me, so I'm going to pull a Tony Reale and mute you.
Oh, but no. I don't think you can mute me right now, honestly. So take that.
Don't tempt me. Don't tempt me.
All right, I won't.
I'm going to go to two guys that I like better than you. And the first is one of the hosts of Between the Seams. This man has a better followers to following ratio on Twitter and Instagram. He loves to sing about his bicycle. We welcome in Marty Tallman. What's going on?
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on the pod again. You know, it's always great being a part of the team. And if Art's intro was -2, I hope mine's +3, so I can get on a good roll for the show.
Yeah, you know, I was hoping that you might have a bicycle in the background that you would want to ride and show us. No. That's how you know I did my stalking.
Yep.
But introducing the other guy, the other host of Between the Seams, the Freddie Freeman fanboy, Alliteration. This man loves to take photos. The man that probably isn't helping out his local barber. We welcome in Christian Mack. What is going on, sir?
Not much. Happy to be here. And I have not this year, actually. It's been almost 11 months since I helped out my local barber. So, nice picking up on that alliteration. I was an English major, so you really do your homework.
You know, thank you. I was in school for like 16 years, so I hope all of that paid off.
I'm still in school, and I hope it's paying off.
Only time will tell, but we're not here to talk about school, because school sucks.
Thank God.
In tonight's episode, we have players to buy and sell. 6 weeks into the season, and we're at a large enough sample size where players' performances up to this point have affected their value. Some positive, some negative. While some leagues, such as TGFBI, don't allow trades, we're here to help you out with your home leagues. After that, we'll go to our question of the week. What has been the most significant injury this season? And as always, we have our game of the week revealed at the end of the show. So if you guys are ready to get another episode started, then we're going to get going, because I'm not going to take David's thing and yell, let's do it. Yeah. Starting off with some news and notes. And we have two no-hitters this week, and it just kind of feels like, okay, another no-hitter. Spencer Turnbull and Corey Kluber. So, Art, I want to start with you. Do no-hitters now have the same appeal to you? Does it feel the same?
It's definitely not the same. I think that the way pitchers are pitching now is more, and the way hitters are hitting, it's going to lead to more. You know, we've had two this week. That's what, 6 on the season, something like that. And so, you know, that's about what, 1 per week so far. And that would shatter. I think we got to be coming up on close to what the season long record would be pretty soon. It looks like we're going to shatter it. And I'm with Clayton Kershaw, who thinks it's bad for the game. I'd like to see hitters making a little bit more contact, putting a little bit more balls in play, less strikeouts. Strikeouts are fascist, according to Rash Davis.
I love it. I love it. Marty, I want to go to you next. Does the no-hitter appeal, has it gotten boring to you? And is it surprising that none of these have been a perfect game? We've been really close.
We've been close. No, because pitchers just throwing as many pitches as possible to get the strikeout. So that's going to happen. Not pitching in contact, right? So we're not going to see, we're going to see more walks because of that. it hasn't lost its luster for me. number one, probably because Spencer Turnbull did it on my Tiger, so we'll take it. But here's the thing. If you even think about this, the last person to do it for the Tigers was Justin Verlander. So the level of talent that, you know, it's just not there for the no-hitter. So in that way, it does take it away. But at the end of the day, we just have to look at what the game is. I mean, I don't know what they've done to this ball, but they've made it a lot better for pitching. Hitters who usually get home runs aren't getting the home runs. They're pop-outs. Everyone's striking out because they're just trying to go for the home run. So I think it's just a reflection of everything. So I'm not going to take it away from the pitcher who went 9 innings and didn't give up a hit. I'm going to look at the periphery stuff and be not as happy with that.
I think that's a great point that Marty brings up. Christian, do you think that these no-hitters have to do with something with the ball, maybe substances that pitchers have on their hands? We've seen John Means and Trevor Bauer kind of have a pine tar-ish substance that have maybe increased their spin rate.
For sure. I mean, I think it's just the natural like evolution of where baseball's been going for a while. And the data age is just, I saw a tweet recently. I think it was from the Princeton baseball coach, and it's getting like championed by like the Shigon Nation type guys, where he's like, he said like hitters have a bunch of holes in their swings, so we need to teach them to not have those holes. But the more important part of his tweet, I think, that less people are focusing on is the fact that like pitchers know every single hole in every hitter's swing. So if they can execute where those holes are, it's just difficult. Like we all, so I don't know. It, definitely something with the ball, but I think it's just like, it's where we are now. Like, and hitters are going to have to adjust. You could do something different with the ball. You can take pine tar away. But I mean, something's going to have to give somewhere.
It's interesting. We have back to back no hitters, and then the Giants score 19 runs today.
Yeah, literally.
So alleviate that.
Yeah. But Marty, speaking of Detroit, I saw something on Reddit where a guy was like, man, you can't have nothing in Detroit. Spencer Turnbull didn't even get 24 hours.
Exactly. That's it. They don't give us too much shine. But quickly, I want to say about game planning and knowing inside and out everyone's swing. Just think about what Shohei Ohtani's doing. Being able to do that on both sides, game planning for every single person. So I just, that just blows my mind. It, like, what goes behind doing that? You throw in a language barrier, not being familiar with this. I mean, it's unbelievable what he's accomplishing.
Well, Marty. Yeah. That's a great transition. Wait, Cheesecake, I know you want to hop back in.
No, I just wanted to talk about Christian's point about the holes in the swing. There, you know, I don't know if you guys remember growing up in Little League, they tried to tell you, you know, keep yourself with a flat bat plane so your bat is in the hitting zone longer. That's going to lead to better contact. This whole quote-unquote launch angle revolution that's been going on for the past few years, your bat is in the hitting zone for a very short period of time. Just the right amount of time to get that nice launch angle on it, but it's also not there. You got to hit it at the right spot. But players back in the day would keep that nice flat bat plane throughout the hitting zone, lead to better batting average. Now trying to hit over the shift, trying to hit more home runs, it's led to that flat bat plane being gone from the game. Now people get criticized for not hitting the ball in the air as much, and it's leading to lower batting averages.
Coach Cheesecake, I like the sound of that. I could see you being a third base coach for a little league team.
Quickly, I will say, lastly, for this, offense is heating up. You know, the weather is heating up. Batting average has gone up the last month. So historically, it takes batters a little bit longer to adjust to pitching. I think that's what we're slowly doing. So if we see, I'm going to go off on a limb and say the no-hitters are going to lessen the further we go. So at least hope so.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're picking up those pitchers for your TGFBI or other teams, I'm sure you're not complaining. But Marty transitioned us to the Angels. And speaking of them, Mike Trout, strained calf 6 to 8 weeks. Unfortunately, it seems like he's getting hurt every year. And we knew it was going to be bad the moment that we saw him slam his helmet, his frustration. The Angels have been on a losing streak themselves, and they could ill afford to lose Trout. So, Marty, I want to start with you. Is the Angels season over?
It was over the second they decided that Dylan Bundy was going to be their number one pitcher. I love Dylan Bundy.
Shots fired.
And I'll get back to that later. But, I mean, until you invest in both sides of the ball, it is what it is. There was just no way they were going to be able to do really anything of like at least once they got into the playoffs, you know? So this is just another, this is more of a shot for baseball and baseball fans like you and I who love watching Mike Trout play every single day. The Angels never had a chance.
Okay. I mean, you put the nail in the tombstone. It sounds like before the season started. Christian, what about you? Are you a little more optimist?
No, not at all. I think that the Angels are really bad at developing pitching for the raw talent. Because, I mean, rolling with Dylan Bundy as your number one starter, I think can work if you know how to use Dylan Bundy. Andrew Haney's got a lot of raw talent. Griffin Canning, I really like that he's gone with sliders. His slider's a money pitch. Ohtani seems to be succeeding despite their inability to use their pitchers, which makes it, again, even more amazing. But I just don't think that they're good at developing. And you got to start questioning coaching at some point when you've got guys with a decent level of talent. I mean, sure, they could have invested in a higher level guy, but they've got major league talent on the staff, and they have for a while. It's just not materializing the way other teams are able to. Look at the Indians, look at the Reds, the way they're able to just churn out guys and get everything they can from them.
Mike Socha can no longer be the scapegoat that he was for years and years.
Yeah.
LC, what are your thoughts? Are you optimistic? Are you riding the negativity train?
I mean, they're already 7 games behind Oakland in the division. They're 6 games behind Houston. They got a lot of fighting back, and having 6 weeks without your best player, it's hard to not lose ground in that case. Of course, you know, July when Trout comes back, there's still a lot of season left, but who knows how many games back they're going to be by then. And, you know, their moves to address the pitching staff. I mean, they tried to sign Gerrit Cole. They didn't accomplish that. They went, and got, Rendon. I thought they probably should have pushed hard to get Trevor Bauer this year, but didn't go for that. They got Alex Cobb instead. You know, they got Dylan Bundy. They tried last season with Julio Teheran. You know, they're bringing in these
they're streaming. Crappy. They're streaming their real life streaming pitchers.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's doing what it does to our fantasy teams. Cobb has some great starts. He had a good start today, but like then you gotta hope that Heaney turns into an ace, or Bundy stays as good as he was last season, and he just hasn't been. I agree that pitching has got to step up for them to stay close, because when Trout gets back, they could go on a run. They got a lot of talent on offense. Rendon hasn't hit yet. Ohtani's the best player in all of baseball. He's the number one player in all fantasy sports by a good margin. But none of their other big guys are hitting, and none of their pitchers are really pitching that well.
Except for Jared Walsh. Jared Walsh matches.
Yeah, that's true. Jared Walsh is also up there. True. True.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's always been the Angels' Achilles heel, is pitching. It just seems like they don't have that ace, that go-to guy. But we're going to go to the next little bit of news, and we're going to stay in that same city with another injury. And that's Corey Seager, who suffered a broken right hand after getting hit with a pitch last weekend. Seager won't require surgery, but will miss at least 4 weeks. The Dodgers have been decimated by injuries this year. How do you think they'll fare going forward? Christian, is there anyone that you're targeting to pick up?
For the Dodgers specifically?
Dodgers or just in general?
Brandon Belt's been my guy to replace Seager on a couple teams already. I don't know if he's going to keep hitting home runs, but it seems like he is. I don't know what that's about. He's already on pace to like destroy his single season record. But yeah, I don't know. Corey Seager was a big blow. He was my pick for the NL MVP. And yeah, I don't know if he'll be able to recover season wise from that. But
probably the best number two hitter in baseball. There's nobody in my mind that's pops up ahead of him. LC, I know that you had him in our home league team. Mm-hmm. Who's somebody that you targeted as a replacement?
Well, thankfully, my middle infielder was Eugenio Suarez, who's not really doing that well, but I was able to slot him in. But I think, Gavin Lux, if he's available, which he probably isn't in your league, he's moving over to shortstop. Other shortstops, I really like Jose Iglesias for the Angels. He's a guy who's been hitting really well, and he's in the points league. He doesn't strike out a lot. He's been producing pretty well for roto leagues as well. On the Dodgers, they've been throwing out, like these these no-name guys until, you know, guy, a guy like Zach McKinstry comes back, or a guy like...
Don't call Matt Beatty a no-name. Don't call Matt Beatty a no-name.
I'm not calling Matt Beatty. I'm calling... What the heck is his name? They had a different... What's that?
Chris Taylor?
No, not Chris Taylor. Oh, God. Nuvin.
Chris Taylor is too handsome to be a no-name.
It's true.
Well, I mean, they put Pujols in. They started him yesterday. So maybe, you know, maybe go pick up Albert Pujols. Maybe that's the move. Marty's skeptical.
Marty, you're shaking that. You're well, not a Pujols fan.
In a 15-team league where you need only home runs, then maybe. And he's like your least, like he's your worst player, probably. That'd be fine.
Okay. I mean, so since you're not picking up Pujols, who are you targeting?
So just straight up for, you know, for losing Seager, and I don't have Seager on any of my teams ever. He's on my do not draft list always because of injuries. I'm not going to say this is an injury. It's a freak accident, but it is what it is. I'm just always afraid. So he's not on any of them. If I was looking to do something straight up, Kiki Hernandez, you know, still leading off for the Red Sox somehow. Over the last 2 weeks, he's batting .455. He's got a homer, a couple RBIs, second base outfield eligibility as well. Nico Goodrum's quietly been kind of good. 3 steals over the last 2 weeks. He's got, you know, 7 hits, batting .386. And, you know, in the piggyback off what Art was saying for Gavin Lux, he's only 61% owned in Yahoo leagues. So obviously any of the leagues, you know, the deep leagues we play in, or any type of industry league, he's way gone. But in your standard home league, you know, 10, 12 team, he might be there.
Okay. Speaking of deep league, one other guy, Freddie Galvis, is on the low, had a pretty decent season so far. And he's been hitting for a little pop. He's got 4 or 5 home runs.
I've gone to a couple of those games because I live a 2-minute walk away. And I'm always like, I tell my friends who don't follow baseball, I'm like, yeah, this guy isn't good. He's just had a good couple games. And I'm like, well, he keeps doing that. Maybe I should target him, but Marty had mentioned Albert Pujols, and after being waived by the Angels, he ended up staying in LA, signing with the Dodgers. He started at first base on Monday and collected an RBI in his debut. Now, he is probably not a fantasy asset at this point in his career, but Marty, yes or no, just from a baseball perspective, do you like the Dodgers picking him up?
Yeah, I absolutely love it. LA has proven it over the years. They always sign, you know, guys basically on their last leg, you know, just that almost as like a shout out pick or whatever. You know, Jim Thome at the end of his career, they were doing this on MLB Network where they showed all these old players. And, you know, when people look really weird in a jersey, like that's what the Dodgers do. Like they have like a whole encyclopedia of them. So adding Albert Pujols to a staff, they're World Series bound. I think they're going to be absolutely fine. I know they've hit a skid. They're going to be able to work it out. They have the most depth I've ever seen in a modern baseball team. And having Pujols there the whole time to be a little bit, you know, a mentor, you know, and maybe to pick up some at bats once in a while, maybe if they're doing interleague play or whatever it is. But if he's going to just come in, you know, and swing for the fences every time and they, you know, tip his cap, hey, I'm all for it. I like it.
Okay. All right. I feel the same way. Christian, are you sharing the optimism that Marty and I are?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. I think it's like a much larger scale version of what Atlanta's done with Pablo Sandoval. Is like he's just revitalized the clubhouse. Yeah, Panda just he gives out free hugs for home runs, and I don't know. Everyone talks about how great he is. So having just like that mentor guy, it's a little over the hill, but he can pinch hit and fill in. But just having that guy in the clubhouse, it's huge. I mean, the LA has the money to just throw. I mean, it's pocket change for them to throw him a bone. But for baseball's sake, I think as a long time Pujols fan, I think anyone who grew up in this era can say having him released from the Dodgers or from the Angels unceremoniously was like not how I wanted to see him.
It felt awful.
So even if he's awful for the rest of the season, just having him on a team is what's important to me.
No, I share the same sentiments. I mean, he is a legend. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And especially he's in the last year of his contract. You don't just cut people like that, in my opinion. Cheesecake, round us out here.
No, I'm with you. The two guys who they first replaced Seager with, I did check it out. Sheldon Neuse and Luke Raley, who I was they weren't on my radar at all. That's who they replaced Seager with at first, so I had to check that out. For me, for my money, I love these sort of soft stories where you can kind of like get some sort of like angle in your mind, like might Pujols have a hot start to his career in LA? There's playing time. Is this someone who I want to take a chance on? I don't know if I would actually put him in my lineup. Yeah, I mean, the situation is perfect. They're so depleted right now that his at bats are going to be there. Not that he's going to have like a great season, but he might give you a couple weeks here. I'm not telling you go out and sign him, but I'm saying like the narrative is there for you. And baseball is a narrative sport. I don't have any real strong analysis on that. But baseball is a narrative sport where a guy comes in and he's got a fresh eye. So maybe go out and pick him up and give him a chance.
Back him off what Max said. That eye is Albert Pujols. You know, it's not Pablo Sandoval, who was, you know, a good player in his right. But this is like the machine.
Can we just talk about how weird it is seeing him in a blue uniform? Because whether it's been the Angels or the Cardinals, he's been wearing red for the last 20 years. Like seeing him with a blue helmet, I was like, this looks like something I'd put in my video games, like my MLB 2K.
Yeah.
Now we're going to a little bit of injury news, and these are some lesser name players, but there's just so many injuries week by week, I got to rattle them off. Michael Conforto, strained right hamstring, timeline to be decided. Wascart, you know, broke his hand punching a dugout bench, and he's out at least 2 months. Hopefully he learns from this. Jeff McNeil on the IL with hamstring tightness as well. Carson Kelly on the IL with a fractured left big toe. Are you guys tired? Because we'll keep going. Giancarlo Stanton, surprise, surprise, with a strained left quad. He'll probably get hurt again. Taiwan Walker on the IL for a lat strain, even though his MRI came back clean. Cheesecake, you and I are crying over that. Mike Moustakas, heel contusion on IL, hopefully coming back after the 10-day minimum. So these are, once again, we have to talk about the 10 to 20 injuries we have each week in the news or notes. Just kind of sucks. But we're going to end on a couple positive pieces. Garrett Cole broke the strikeout record without a walk with 61, breaking right after Corbin Burns set the record with 58. So kind of the pitching dominance we're seeing at the beginning of the year. Noah Syndergaard had his first rehab start after his Tommy John surgery last year. So hopefully he's back on the mound soon. And Christian Yelich activated off the IL, which we think was good news considering there was a lot of fear when he went back on the IL after playing two games. So, good discussion. And he got a steal. TGFBI, thank you. I invested a high pick on him, and I need those steals. But speaking about steals, do you like stealing our ideas on what we tell you? Well, make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button wherever you find your podcasts. Want to hear more Triple Play? Well, great news for you. We have a fantasy football and basketball show that you can also check out, available anywhere you get your podcasts. If you're enjoying the content, how about buying our love by giving us a 5-star rating and review? Check us out on all socials at Triple Play Fantasy and the website tripleplayfantasy.com. You'll see my tweets that get a lot of interaction that really annoy David. You'll also see a ton of articles, videos, podcasts. You'll see between the seams these two handsome fellows there, even some movie reviews. You guys remember that feeling when you clearly want to trade and everybody knows it? Well, that's the feeling that we want to provide. Thank you to everyone out there that listens and supports us, watches and interacts with us every single week. If you're watching the live version, we're not going anywhere. But if you're on the podcast version, we'll jump into players to buy or sell right after this quick break. And we are back. Main segment of the show, guys. 6 weeks into the season, and that's the time where players have gained or lost some trade value. It's not like after the first day when Edgar Renteria homers two times and you can say he's the number one player in baseball at 36 years old. No, we actually have now probably a fourth of the season, almost a fourth of the season done. And look, we've all had some hits and misses from our draft. But the two ways that you can improve your team now are through free agency and trades. And we're here to talk about the latter. This handsome crew right here, and I can't stress enough that they are handsome, is going to give you a pitcher and an hitter that you want to buy low and sell high on. Just like stocks, that's for you, MLB moving average. It's a gamble, and you're hoping to hit. So, Cheesecake, I want to start with you. Who is a hitter that you are looking to buy low on?
I'm looking to buy low on Dominic Smith right now. Dominic Smith, coming into today's games, was hitting .248 with a .301 OBP and a .336 slug. He hasn't hit a home run in about 4 weeks. But he has an expected batting average in the 77th percentile. And he's actually being really, really choosy with his swings. I went to Paul Mimino's fantastic data monster over on Roto Fanatic. And the average league wOBA on his takes is .305. The average league wOBA on his swings is .362. And his, like I said, his expected batting average is in the 77th percentile. Now the power has been gone, like I said, for 3-4 weeks, but his max exit velocity is still pretty good. That's in the 64th percentile. You know, you'd start to think coming into the season, Smith might have trouble finding playing time with all the players on that Mets roster. We just talked about Conforto. We just talked about McNeil going down. Smith is going to have a lot of runway to work himself out, and he's already starting to do it. He's had a hit in 3 straight games and 4 of the last 5. None of them have been for extra bases, but I think it's just a matter of time before he starts putting those out. The guy has some real power. Like I said, his max exit velocity is still pretty strong. So Dominic Smith is a hitter who I'm really trying to target right now.
I love that, and great call. And I believe in TGFBI, he's first base and outfield eligible, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has multiple positions.
So, you know, every week, and just as evidenced by our news and notes now, we go down a laundry list of players that are on the IL, and having someone that can fit multiple positions, your first base, your corner infield, your outfield, your utility. I love it. Great call. Marty, who's a guy that you're looking to buy low on?
Well, really quick on that. Actually, and I only know this because I just traded for the Polar Bear in my league, but he's potentially going to go on the IL with a sore wrist. So
there even more playing time.
Yeah, that just popped up today. And I traded Ian Anderson for him straight up in the league. You know, Pete Alonso, I needed home runs. But yeah, I saw it today. You know, it was the blue. Oh, status update. All right, cool. How's he doing? But sore wrist, potentially could be on the IL.
I mean, it's the Mets. We're not surprised.
That's what my buddy said. But yeah, I'm buying low on the guy who I bought kind of low on earlier to draft him, Ke'Bryan Hayes, Pittsburgh Pirates. He's supposed to be coming back here at the end of the month. He's one of my favorite players in baseball. I know he's had a short career, but over 90 at-bats, he's batting .367. He has 6 home runs. He has a steal. He had 3 or 4 steals in the preseason or in the, you know, spring training. Third base eligibility. For me, I've been struggling with third base all across the board in a lot of leagues. Most of it is because I drafted him, but even like, you know, Gio Urshela and all my backups, they haven't been as solid as I needed them to be. So buy low on Ke'Bryan Hayes. He's either number one on your waiver wire, you know, if you're in a shallow enough league, but I bet you the person who's been holding on to him the last couple months, they don't want to wait another couple weeks. So try to get him. He's already doing his rehab assignments and he'll be good the rest of the year.
So, Marty, are you concerned at all? I mean, the Pirates are 17-25. They're obviously not in contention this year. Ke'Bryan Hayes is probably the cornerstone of the franchise. Do you think that they played conservative with him, that if he's sore, you know, maybe they hold him out a little bit longer. Maybe they have him, you know, platooning or not at an everyday role once they activate him?
Potentially. They didn't do it last year. They let him go to the, you know, the full way. But I think they're doing that right now. Because they've been really quiet on their updates, and all of a sudden he was on the 60-day IL. And so, you know, I think they have already built those 2 months of him just kind of relaxing, taking BP, seeing how it goes. Oh, he had a little bit of a setback. Let's wait a couple weeks before we do anything. So I think that's kind of built in. At the beginning of the year, the team wasn't going anywhere. So I think he's going to want to get his stats. He's going to want to show how good he is. He's going to bat second or third in that lineup every day. I'm not worried about him shutting him down.
All right. Well, if you have a frustrated injury or frustrated manager in your league that maybe has been holding on to Hayes, now's the time to strike. Christian, who's a guy that you want to get on at his reduced price?
My guy is Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham was a guy who was a little bit, his price was reduced, not by his own fault. He was just stabbed as one is in the off season, and people were a little worried about that. Rightfully so. But Tommy has had a rough start to the season. In fact, he's batting 183, the 316 OBP. But there are brighter, greener pastures, brighter days ahead, I think. His max exit velocity right now is in the 89th percentile. He's not chasing anything. He's in the 98th percentile in chase rate. And he has a track record. I mean, he still has a 78th percentile, or 74th percentile sprint speed, but he's 33. He's got a track record of production, and he has one of the highest differences between in the league between actual wOBA and xWOBA and actual batting average and expected batting average. Right now, he has an expected batting average of 248 besides that 183. His wOBA is 260, and his xWOBA is 350. So I think if there's a guy you want to buy low on for production the rest of the season in the outfield, I like Tommy a lot. His stat cast is looking pretty red. And I know like that's not the only indicator, but I like the track record. I like that people were down on him before the season. So he's the sort of guy I think I would be targeting.
Christian, are you worried at all because the Padres had a COVID outbreak? Erickson Profar, Eric Hosmer, Will Myers, they all seem to be coming back. I mean, we talk about the Dodgers having one of the most depths in the deepest depth in baseball, but the Padres are right there. Are you worried that when everybody's healthy, that he's going to be struggling to find an everyday role?
I don't really think so. I mean, yeah, I'm not super worried. And I think that Tommy's been producing. Again, he's not like actually producing, but he's been making enough hard contact, working pitchers deep in counts. I'm just not super worried that he's going to get squeezed out of playing time there. They are pretty deep, but as we've already seen, they've had some injuries. They've already had COVID-19 outbreak. I think that when a guy is as good and consistently producing as Tommy Pham has been throughout his career, he's not a superstar, but he's an everyday big leaguer. I'm just not that worried. Maybe I should be, but I'm definitely not.
Okay. I love it. I mean, you stamp your guys and you say, I'm confident on them moving forward. And, you know, all the guys that you said buy low on, I love the process that you have. Christian, I'm going to stick with you. Okay. Which player is like Bitcoin that you want to sell high before the crash that we saw yesterday?
Okay. So I was debating between two of these guys. I'm going to go with the less obvious of the two. So I'm going to go, and this pains me as an Atlanta fan. It really does. I'm going with Austin Riley. And I think that Austin Riley has had a really good like last 15 games. If you look at his slash line, it's pretty nice. It's a pretty nice looking slash line. I think he's batting 299 with a 409 OBP and a 453 slugging percentage, so an 861 OPS, and he's looking good. Where I'm concerned is he's still striking out at a 26.8% rate, which everyone's striking out, but his BABIP is 404, which is fourth highest in the league. And he's up there with guys like Trout and Alvarez. I know big power guys end up there a lot, but I've just seen enough from Austin over his career that in redraft, I still don't know if I trust him. And right now, I don't know if his value is going to be any higher. He's got third base and outfield eligibility, so he's got multi-positional eligibility, and he can be attractive to guys who have been decimated by some injuries. I just think that he's one of those guys that's on a hot streak, and he goes really cold for long periods of time. And I don't like getting caught holding the bag with guys like that.
You must really be down on him the rest of the year to trash someone on your home team. And, you know, the K rate is real. When he got called up in 2019, you know, he had a really good hot stretch with the Braves, but he's still at a 36.4% K rate. And, you know, one of David's guys is Bobby Dalbec. And it's kind of like that walk or that strikeout or that homer scenario, not even walking a lot. Austin Riley that year, he's upped his walk percentage to 12.2, but last year was 7.8. The year before that was 5.4. So The play discipline is getting a little bit better, but that K rate is still very alarming.
I will say, Austin, I've liked his work ethic, and I am optimistic for future, maybe as a dynasty asset, because he's still relatively young. And I like that he's made improvements on breaking balls and some other things, but he's still such a streaky hitter. I just can't imagine his value for this year, especially in redraft, being any higher than it is right now.
No, agreed. And I think that's a really great pick. Marty, I'm going to go with you. Who is the Ethereum, another cryptocurrency that tanked yesterday?
Well done. And David, better watch out, man. You're doing a really good job hosting here.
Thank you.
Yeah, destroyed voice or not. And you made the perfect segue by talking about increased K rate and a horrible walk percentage, which brings me to my guy, Mr. Javi Baez. Sell him. I would never buy him. Anyone with that kind of his K percentage is 37.2. It was 31.9 last year, and that was just, that scared it. I hope that would scare enough people away, but because of this beginning, he's actually doing pretty well so far this year. 10 home runs, 7 stolen bases, right there in a roto league. You really couldn't be happier. He's batting .255, which in these days, with a good batting average being about .275, .280, .255 is actually not that bad. But here's his OBP, .291. He has no discipline. Long term, eventually his luck is going to run out. Matt Williams has always called him a unicorn because of he doesn't do anything right, but the numbers at the end of the day usually come out pretty well. I would sell on him if you have the opportunity. I think he still has second base and shortstop eligibility, obviously in Yahoo. I don't think so in the other leagues, but get rid of him.
I want to shout out our friend Seth Klein, who had a great tweet today. 0.9%. My chances of sleeping with Scarlett Johansson and Javi Baez's walk percentage against right-handed pitchers. I was like, sir, you won the internet.
I would have used that. I just have a regular walk percentage, which is 2.7, which is...
It's still not good. Cheesecake, first of all, do you feel that Javi Baez is a sell high? And then tell me your guy.
No, I think I'm biased. I've been watching Javi for a long time.
The first step is admitting it.
Yeah, the first step. But Javi's kind of getting back to the type of player he was in 2017, 2018. I think the way he's playing, you could probably get a nice return on him though. So there could be a good reason to sell. But I don't think he's going to like fall off a cliff. I think you might have it be a lower batting average than he had been producing, but I think he's going to be producing still pretty well. The guy I'm looking to sell high is currently the 7th ranked Roto player in all of baseball. His name is Adolis Garcia for Texas.
Okay. I knew that was going to come.
Yep.
He has 11 home runs, 20 runs, 30 RBIs, and 5 stolen bases, and he's hitting .288. He's a 5-category producer right now, and he's shown power. He's shown a little bit of chip in speed. His minor league high is 14, but that batting average, I really think that batting average is going to fall. He's hitting .288. I think once the holes in his swing are figured out a little better by the pitchers, once he can't tee off on pitchers who don't know him that well yet, you're going to start seeing him make a little bit less good contact. His strikeout rate isn't terrible right now. It's at 28.2. But this is a guy who's probably going to jump up to about 31, 32 before the end of the season. And once the pitchers really know what he's doing up at the plate, I think also you're going to see that batting average, his BABIP drop a little bit. So that I think you're still going to get power from him. You're still going to get some of those steals. Right now he'd be on pace for, 18, 19 steals. I think you're probably going to get double digits. That'll still be good. So he's still valuable, but I think that batting average is going to drop. So I would trade him now when he is super valuable as the 7th best player in all of fantasy baseball. I think you could get yourself that pitcher to replace, your underperforming Sonny Gray or something like that, or maybe you can get an underperforming pitcher. Maybe someone would trade you, Lucas
My
Giolito.
God,
or something
are you
like
still
that.
Talking?
I'm just saying, man. I think this is an asset that's going to go down, just like Bitcoin. And
just like Dogecoin.
Just like Dogecoin, yeah.
I had to use three.
I thought that was Dogecoin.
It's Dogecoin.
Isn't there a dog on the symbol?
you just let everyone know that you're a boomer.
You're lucky we're not allowed to swear on this podcast, Doc.
You can do it to
I'll
me off.
Do it, I'll just do it visually.
You can just
I didn't know we're not allowed to swear, so that's
no, funny. me and Cheesecake don't, and the guests can. Okay. You don't worry, you can text me all the profanity you want. I'll just ignore it. But, Cheesecake, I'm going to start with you, and we're going to talk about pitchers to buy low on it. And it feels like it's really hard to buy low on pitchers because it's a pitcher's game now. You know, we see these really low ERAs from pitchers that we're not used to. You know, we see no hitters. It feels like a lot of these pitchers' values right now is pretty high, which is why I wanted to end that segment with that. But who's somebody that has maybe underperformed this year that's not Luis Castillo that you're looking to buy low on?
Kyle Hendricks. Kyle Hendricks has had two horrible starts against Atlanta this season. And besides that, he hasn't been as sharp as normal, but he's been pretty decent. And he's also started to look pretty good lately. You know, he had a really nice start against Detroit, his most recent time out. But you know, you start to see these guys who are they're pitch to contact. Hit their spots. All those guys are having trouble this season so far. A guy like Kyle Hendricks has been an excellent pitcher for a long time. I have a hard time thinking that he's going to stay bad this whole season. And when you break it down by the games, it looks like, you know, he's not going to be pitching against Atlanta again. So, you know, you're probably going to get the best of his season from this point on.
Cheesecake, do you think that the Cubs steal him?
No, they have him under contract, and it's a team-friendly contract. I don't think they're going to deal him. I think they want him around for their next iteration of a contending team.
I was wondering because, you know, a lot of times when we see these teams that aren't in contention, you know, they sell off good players, and they're going to contenders, which gives them a better chance to get wins, to get run support. You know, sometimes a new environment is good mentally for a pitcher. So I'm glad that you're not tying his value to speculation that he might get traded. Mr. Tallman, the guy that was drinking an adult beverage, who's a guy that I wasn't going to say the name of it because no free ads on here, but who's a pitcher that you're buying low on?
And this is the full circle on this, Dylan Bundy. So I talked crap about him being the ace for the
eighth. I thought that was going to be your sell high guy.
Yeah. No, you can't sell him. You buy low. So his ERA is 6.02. You can't sell him.
I didn't realize that. I thought it was probably like 4.5. I didn't realize it was 6.02.
And here it is. So his ERA is 6.02, xERA 3.54, FIP 4.08, xFIP 3.86. In his last seven starts, he has five quality starts. And for me, and this is just for all the pitchers moving forward, it's like a philosophy. I want pitchers who I don't have to worry about their innings limit. And Dylan Bundy, he's good to go, man. They're going to let him pitch as much as possible. They don't, you know, they're not saving him for anything. And he's been overall unlucky this year. He's given up more homers than he has ever had. Well, not ever, but as an Angel, but like his hard hit percentage is the best it's ever been. It's in the 88th percentile. So he's limiting hard contact. The runners left on base is 57.2% this year. His career average in 7 years is 71.6. So he just had a little bit of a bad luck streak. The Angels, as we've already talked about, they're struggling, so they're not giving him any type of, I mean, that's why he's 0 for his last four or five. Yeah, 0 for his last four. So, the hard hit percentage is down. The K percentage, the K minus walk percentage is 18.3. So all signs point up. And I think you can get him for super cheap.
So, Marty, my question, the first four starts that Dylan Bundy had last year, he pitched 28 innings and he only gave up four runs. And I think that's kind of what put him on the map of like, okay, this is another pitcher leaving Camden Yards that's going to do well. But the rest of the season, the seven starts he had was a middle of the road pitcher, a high threes, low four ERA. What do you expect from him the rest of the season?
I think you're exactly right there. You know, 3.5 ERA with high K percentage. I think he's going to get a lot more wins on the back end of the season. He's not an ace. You know, he's not in my top 30 pitchers. I think he's somewhere hovering around 40. But I think you can, like, in these deep leagues, and I know pitching right now seems like, Carlos Rodon's the man. I think in 3 months, we're not going to have that situation. You're going to want somebody with no innings limits. Mr. Dylan Bundy's your guy.
Okay. Well, 3.5 or 4 ERA is definitely better than a 6.02. Mr. Mack, who is the pitcher that you're buying low on?
All right. This might be a hot take, but I've been banging this drum between the seams for a while. From week one, Marty can confirm, Adbert Alzolay is my buy low. And there are some things about Adbert that I think are surprising. One is that his CSW percentage is 32%. But here's the most important thing about Adbert is people have always kind of known, like, yeah, he's got the stuff. He had a pretty high prospect pedigree. But he's dropped his walk rate this year from 5.48 per nine last year to 1.70 this year. So 1.7 walks per nine. He's basically, I mean, it's an incredible decrease in walks. His command has gotten a lot better. And for me, giving pitchers, I mean, he's only 26. You just got to give pitchers a little bit of room to run. People gave up on him, prospect fatigue, but he's got multiple elite pitches. His slider is right there. I don't know if this year he's going to give you an ERA better than around 4, but he's hovering around the 9 to 10 K9 range. And he's going to have great command. And I plugged this on between the seams. It's the last thing I'll say on him is Carlos Marcano from Pitcher List. He has this metric called specs, and he's put together a leaderboard that he tweeted out. It's pretty cool. I've been using it a lot recently. And Adbert is sitting at pitcher number 33 as far as specs rating goes, right behind Tyler Molly and Chris Bassitt. So not aces, but studs nonetheless. I think that he's flying under the radar. So, I mean, buy comps pitchers, I guess, is what we're saying.
Yeah, and Alzolay has 7 starts this year. He's gone at least 5 and 6 of them, which is good enough to get him the win.
Yeah.
Christian, is it Bassitt or is it Chris Bassitt?
I have no clue.
I am a Chris Bassitt stans, so if I have been saying his last name wrong the entire time, then I'm going to have to reevaluate my life.
I think that's the first time I've ever said it out loud. It just sounded, that's the way, it felt like that's how it was supposed to come out of my mouth, but it's probably Bassitt. Now I don't know.
Marty and Cheesecake, chime in. Is it Bassitt, yeah. Bassitt? I need to know.
I would go Bassitt. That's
yeah.
I'm going Bassitt. There's something about that where, like, you see these names in your head, you read them all the time, then all of a sudden, Christian, you and I have talked about this on our show, that, like, all of a sudden you don't know how to say someone's first or last name. And it's just you realize, whatever. Oscar Renoir.
I'm flipping on myself. I'm saying it's Bassitt. It came out of my mouth, and I was like, that's it. I don't think so.
little fancy pronunciation. Bassitt.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I remember growing up, I always called it Dunedin, Florida, when I was talking about the Toronto minor league. Now I realize I said it wrong for 30 plus years. Dunedin is not the name.
If that isn't a reality check right there. Well, Christian, I want to stay with you. And our last segment here of pitchers to sell high on. And as we talked about before, it kind of seems like everybody you could sell high on. Spencer Turnbull, maybe Corey Kluber, maybe Carlos Rodon, all of these pitchers that have kind of been afterthoughts for the last couple of years have the games of their lives. And, you know, Rodon has put on an impressive start to begin the season. You know, Kluber looks like he could be a waiver wire pickup. Are any of these guys people that you think have peaked and you're looking to deal?
That's hard. I had two guys that I'm on. We mentioned one of them. I'm going to say the one guy that I decided against, and the one guy I decided against was John Means. And I thought about saying sell high on him for a minute there, and I just don't think so. I looked into his numbers and I was like, man, I think maybe the guy's just an ace. Maybe I'm just wrong. I think maybe he's one of those guys that got out of Camden. But the guy I am saying sell high on, and I know he's injured currently, and we talked about him earlier, Taiwan Walker, I think is a super sell high. I think you got a sell high on Taiwan. And I vibe with the guy. He's got such a cool, like, I like his presence. I like the way him and Strowman go back and forth.
Do you not like that he's tatted? I need to know why.
He's tatted. It's dope. But his Woba versus ex-Woba is worst in the league among qualified starting pitchers. He is a career. I pulled up his Savant right here. I mean, he's not sitting above 54th percentile on any of his stuff when we're looking at Statcast metrics. But look, he's a career xERA guy around 4.5. In 2018, he got the 6.52 xERA. So right now he has a 2.04 ERA and his xERA is 3.81. I don't know. Maybe he's one of those guys that just like outplays the expected metrics, but I just don't think that he is able to continue the success, and you might be able to flip him for, say, your John Means type, who I feel like is a lot more real. So it's one of those, like, is it legit or not tests? He's looking like his numbers look like ace numbers on paper. And if you've got a guy who's maybe a Mets fan, see if you can flip him for someone else who's got those ace numbers, who is an ace.
I mean, I should have told you prior to the show that no Taiwan Walker slander will be tolerated.
I knew as soon as you guys said that earlier, I was like, oh man, I'm about to.
I mean, I'm looking at his stats. He's only given up more than two earned in one outing. Obviously, the last one after three innings, he was pulled, had only given up one hit. To talk about John Means real quick, I think it is kind of interesting living in the Maryland area. The O's haven't had an ace since Eric Bedard for that one season in 2007. You know, Camden is typically been a pitcher's park. The O's build their team around hitting. They know, hey, we're not going to develop pitchers. So it kind of does feel that vibe of sell high, because we don't typically see pitchers do well, just like it seems like with the Angels, that they just don't develop. And the Indians just are like, hey, hold my beer. Right, Marty?
Yeah, literally.
Speaking of holding beer, that's what maybe you're doing with your right hand, but you didn't tell us. He finished it. He finished it. Well, Marty, who is your sell high guy?
So sell high, we're going to stay here local in Detroit, and it's Mr. Casey Mize. And I've absolutely loved what he's done, you know, these last four times out, his four straight quality starts. He's never done that in his career before. You look at all the stats, ERA, 3.69. Over 46 innings, he has 34 strikeouts, 1.19 whip. This is the best he's ever pitched. And they're letting him go into the sixth, seventh, eighth inning. But as of, last week on May 13th, AJ Hinch, the coach for the Detroit Tigers, said, don't tell Casey, but we're thinking about taking him out of the rotation early in June. So the quote is load management. They're going to manage his load for the rest of the year. And so in about a month or so, I wouldn't expect him to go over 3-4 innings. They're probably going to make him like an opener.
So your sell high is based on the amount of innings that he will have and not his performance going forward.
Casey Mize, his role will diminish so much that you will be forced to cut him. So if you can sell him and someone's stupid enough to not listen to this podcast, trade them for Casey Mize.
So I have a question, because Casey Mize, you know, had a kind of a rough beginning of the year. You know, his start against Oakland, he gave up 5 earned. Kansas City gave up 6 earned. But the last 3 starts, 6 inning, 1 earned at Boston, 6 inning, 2 earned at or versus the Royals, and then 7.2, 1 earned versus the Mariners. Do you think if he keeps performing like this, he'll basically force the Tigers' hand and say, look, how can we pull a guy that is showing such promise that he is?
No, not at all. I mean, they pulled Stephen Strasburg back in the day for the first 5 years, every single year, and he was doing absolutely amazing. The Tigers aren't going to be good for the next 3 years. Everyone knows that. Casey knows that. So just preserving him, getting the most out of him, making sure that he's able to build on what he's done over the last few years. You're exactly right. And I saw his first 3 starts, one of them in person against the Royals, where he gave up 5 runs in 3 innings. So, he's turned the page. It looks like he's moving in, slider a lot more. He's not going to have any type of role that's fantasy relevant very soon.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe a dynasty hold, but in redraft leagues, Marty is saying sell him while you can. LC, finish us out. Who is a pitcher that you are selling high on?
Well, I started to look at certain pitchers. Did you know that the Giants have three of the top 23 starting, three of the top 23 pitchers on their roster right now? This is pitchers, starters and relievers.
And I was like, Kevin Gausman.
Yep. Tony Disco. Not Jake McGee. Tony Disco and Alex Wood.
Wow.
All in the top 23. I thought to myself, one of those guys is a sell high. And then I wasn't sure which one. I guess Tony Disco would be my first instinct there. But
so wait, before you continue, how did he earn the nickname Tony Disco? This has been on my mind for a couple weeks.
His name is Anthony Desclafani.
Desclafani. Yeah.
So Tony Disco, I think, is just kind of playing on the name.
I know where the Tony came
from. It's because Americans are lazy and we can't say Desclafani. So we just go Disco.
Okay. All right. I was wondering if there was something I missed that, like, he's a dancer or something.
I think one of those three at least is going to fall off. Wood has injury concerns. Tony Disco has some performance concerns. I couldn't choose which one. I don't think it's going to be Gausman. So I went with Nick Pivetta, who I think is everyone's favorite pitcher to hate. But he is also, the 44th best pitcher in baseball so far this year. He's pitching, he has 5 wins already. He has 42 strikeouts and 42 and two thirds innings, but he also has 22 walks and he's only given up 3 home runs in those 42 innings. I think once the weather starts to heat up, those walk problems are going to start to meet some of the home runs that have not come yet. And he's going to start to drop off. I think a lot of smart fantasy baseball players are going to realize you're selling high on him, but you can. I think for a trade where you're trying to get a slightly better player, Pivetta might be the type of chip that you could throw onto the pile that could close the deal, because he's been pitching well on a team. If you're going with a team that needs pitching pretty badly, I think Pivetta could be someone that might sweeten a deal for you. I do think, like I said, a lot of people are not convinced by this start, just like I'm not.
I love that you opened with three Giants, and I'm like, oh, which way is he going to go? Oh, none of them.
None of them. Because, like, which one do you choose?
that's a rich hit. I would have gone Alex Wood for the injury reasons. That was a Rich Hill vintage curveball that you threw us. But, you know, we play in these home leagues, and it's different. TGFBI, you know, you're playing with a lot of industry people, and you can't really fool. I feel like in your home leagues, there's always that one idiot that you can get with a trade because it's your friends. Not all of them are necessarily the most knowledgeable. But great discussion, fellas. We are going to go to the fun part of the segment, and that is our question of the week. We are sponsored by Monkey Knife Fight. This is the only ad that we're giving. Triple Play Fantasy is now an official affiliate to Monkey Knife Fight, the fastest growing sports betting site in the United States. Use promo code Triple Play, which is one word, and get up to $50 of your deposit matched when you become a new user using that code. Me and Brad are going to get on our grind, I promise. And if make sure you start following these shows each weekend to give you a 10 to 15 look of the gaming landscape with our locks to help you win big. I do play myself. Our question this week, and there has been a lot of injuries, but which has been the most significant one this season? Marty, I had you in the middle of the snake draft that I was going back and forth, so I want you to start off with this one.
Yep.
Someone that just ripped your heart out.
Okay. I didn't want to revisit this. Like, I don't want to jump in this quickly, but I guess
we're here for you. This is a safe space.
My third round pick in the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational, Luis Robert. Lou Bob himself has been the one that's devastated me the most. I'm doing okay in steals. I was able to chip away with it with like Trevor Story. You know, he's good enough. I have like Joey Wendell. People are going to give you like 4, 5, 6, Colton Wong. But he was my guy that was going to get me 25 home runs. He was going to get me 25 stolen bases. I didn't care what he did to my average, because my average is the best in my league right now. So I'm good to go on that. And I built my team around his 25 steals. And he went on the IL for a little bit, you know, but he bounced back, had a couple more. And then we all got the news. He's donezo. Lou Bob himself. devastating.
Marty, what place in TGFBI are you as of recording May 20th, 2021?
Overall, 26th.
That is great. Everything that Marty has said tonight, you better take and run to the bank with. Christian, who is somebody that has just pulled your heart muscles for their injury?
Well, Marty kind of just dredged up like something I'd already repressed. Like I'd forgotten how painful this was. It had to be Eloy. Easy Eloy. I was thinking, I was like in my head, I was like, Cattell is on a lot of my teams. Like, oh, who could it be? There, I mean, everyone's had injuries, but I made a blockbuster trade in one of my 12-team dynasty leagues. I traded Bregman and Greinke for Eloy. It was very salary-based. Bregman and Greinke had pretty inflated salaries because it was a salary league. And I was like, I really need those home runs. And then, like, I'm not even kidding, like, a week after that trade went through, I think, he tore his pec. And it was just, like, done. I've lost, and to make matters worse, I started Luis Castillo every single week in that league, and I've lost every matchup because I keep trusting in him. And then I didn't start him in his last start, and he struck out 11. So
have you joined the Luis Castillo support group? It's a real thing.
I think I need to. You know, that league alone, it's lost me every matchup.
So Mike Carter, our dear friend, probably would say the same answer with Eloy. I remember when that injury happened and he just went off on a rant and he's like, such a nincompoop that...
Why would you do that?
Yeah, it's like he tried making a grab for a ball that wasn't even close in a spring training game. It's just like the IQ sometimes just isn't there. Cheesecake, who's your guy?
Well, I'm going with a real-life baseball significant injury, and I'm going with one of the dumbest injuries you're going to find. And I'm sorry, Christian, it's Wascar Ynoa. Atlanta sits three games back in their division. They've had a tough time coming up with pitchers. Max Fried currently is day-to-day. Charlie Morton underperforming on the season, though he had a good start, I think, yesterday. Mike Soroka's had a setback. Drew Smiley's been underperforming. Ian Anderson's been doing well. But you know, it was the fine. He was the guy who might help carry the staff until they might make a trade or get some injury replenishment. And then he goes and punches a wall or punches a bench. I can't remember which one it was.
And the bench won.
And he's out for a long time. And, you know, Atlanta can hardly afford to lose pitching at this point in the season. I think, they might, I mean, thankfully the Mets aren't running away with the division. No one's running away with it. But they're going to have a hard time, you know, coming up with starters, and Noah's injury is going to loom large in that picture.
I mean, that's a significant one. It's probably the dumbest one that Cheesecake had mentioned, or dumbest injury. I wasn't mentioning that you're calling it was dumb. you know, for me, it's easy to say Christian Yelich because it's been frustrating with his back. You keep him on the IL. And he comes back for a couple games. We talked about it earlier. It's Mike Trout, you know, the one of the faces of baseball. The guy just can't seem to stay healthy. He's missed, I think, 20 games in his last four seasons that have been full ones. You know, just a guy that you root for. He's having the best batting average and WAR season so far of his career. And, you know, if there's anyone that could help turn the Angels around, it's what him and Ohtani were doing. And, you know, a lot of time the Angels, you know, hopes kind of ride on him. And, you know, right now they're on a losing streak, and it will probably be another year that Mike Trout doesn't get in the playoffs. So just kind of sad on that aspect. But we're going to get a little happy, and we're going to end the show with our game of the week. And I'm hosting. So this is the jersey game, the jersey number game. So I have seven players here. And each player has worn multiple jersey numbers. So, for example, like let's say I gave you Anthony Rizzo. He's worn two numbers. You would have two guesses. And if you get it right, you get a point. Now, I realize that we all don't know baseball numbers like that. So, for each player, I'm going to give you a hint. Sound good?
Yeah.
So, we're going to start with Art, then Marty, then Christian. There's a total of 26 points in this game. I have a tiebreaker if for some reason you guys get on a similar amount. Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. The first one is Andrew McCutchen. He's had two jersey numbers, and both are in the 20s. So, Art, we're beginning with you.
25.
You have two guesses.
Oh, 25. Two guesses?
Yeah, because he has 25 and 21.
Yeah.
Marty?
22 and 25.
Okay. And Christian?
29 and 23.
All right. Well, Marty gets 1 point. His numbers are 22 and 26.
Wow.
Number two, and we are starting with Mr. Tallman, who is now the betting odds favorite to win the game. Bryce Harper. He has one double-digit number in the 30s and one single-digit number.
Six, and what was the other? What was the first clue?
He has a double-digit number in the 30s.
Double-digit number in the 30s. 35?
Okay. Christian?
I'm going 37 and 8.
And Art?
34 and 6.
All right, well, 1 point for Art. It is 34 and 3.
Mm.
All right. So the next one is Jay Bruce, recently retired Jay Bruce. He has five jersey numbers. There is one that is single digits, and the others are between 15 and 35. So one single digit, and then you're going to have four guesses between 15 and 35. So you might just take a guess and hit it. Christian, we're starting with you.
All right. Let's go with 2, 19, 24, 26, and 31.
Okay. Art?
Okay. I'm going to try and game this. 8, 15, 35, 29, and 19.
Okay. And Marty?
Start with number 1, and then we'll go 15, 19, 23. He seems like a Larry Bird 33 kind of guy. We'll go 33 as well.
And you got one more guess.
Ooh, 35.
Okay, well, Christian and Art each got 1 point. Marty got 2. The numbers are 9, 19, 23, 30, and 32. All right. We're going back to Art for number 4. It's Yu Darvish. He has two jersey numbers. One is between 10 and 20, and the other is between 21 to 30.
I'm going to say 17 and 29.
Okay, Marty?
13 and 23.
Okay, and Christian?
We're going 13 and 27.
All right, well, big old goose egg. You guys don't like you, Darvish, I guess.
Wow.
11 and 21.
Oh, one guy.
Yeah, of course.
All right. The next one, Lance Lynn. He has five jersey numbers. Four are in the 30s, and then one is in the 60s. So, Marty, we're starting with you.
I'm going to go 66 for okay. The and then what were the, you said there was four, I got four guesses in the 30s?
Yes.
Okay. 33. 30, 34, and 36.
Okay. Christian?
All right. So we got one in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go 69. Lance Lynn seems that like that
dirty
guy.
Dirty. You're dirty, Christian.
You just know Lance Lynn would like that. Marty,
I don't know. I don't know that.
Look at him. Yes, you would. But Marty, you better get one of these right. You're the Lance.
I know. He's clearly my favorite baseball.
Let me just say before you guess any of the ones in the 30s, If I ever meet Lance Lynn, that's the question I'm asking. How do you feel about the number 69? All right, Christian, you got more guesses in the 30s.
All right, I'm going 31, 33, 35, and 36.
Okay. And Art?
64. And then I'm going to go 33, 35, 39, 38.
All right, well, everybody got 3 points. His number in the 60s was 62. And in the 30s, it was 31, 33, 35, and 36. So,
wow.
Going into, we have two players left.
I wanted to say really quick on Lance Lynn, because I love this tweet, who is by Keelan Blue. On Twitter, she tweeted, "Lance Lynn should pitch in overalls, no shirt underneath." And I was just like, "God damn it, that would be, imagine him with boots on, just throwing the weight." Like,
can he pitch in shorts?
Maybe.
So going into the last two, Art has 4, Christian has 4, and Marty has 5.
I have 5.
Art says he has 5.
I have 5.
Okay, Art has 5. Sorry, I missed track.
Listeners, if he's lying, tell us.
Please.
All right, so we got 2 left. And this next one is Jonathan VR. He has 7 jersey numbers. 4 are in the single digits. 1 is in the 20s, and 2 are in the 30s. And Christian, we're starting with you.
Okay, so I got 4 in the single digits, 1, 20s, 2, 30s. Okay. I'm going 2, 4, 6, 9, and then 2 in the 20s, 1 in the 20s, 2 in the 30s?
Yeah, 1 in the 20s, 2 in the 30s. Right.
21, 31, and 34.
All right. Art.
Christian going with that 6, 9. Just got to do that 6-9.
Christian, you dirty, man. You dirty. You ain't coming back on. This is a wholesome family podcast.
I'm gonna say 3 and 6, 7, 8 in the single digits.
Okay.
24 and 37 and 32 and 37. Yeah.
Okay. And Marty?
33.
Are you going backwards?
Yeah. Does that screw you up? Can you?
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay. I'm going to go all over the place. So I'm going to go 33, 1, 9, 3, and then do I have one more in which one? Which category?
You went all over the place. So you have 1 in the 30s. 1 in the 20s, and then 1 single digit.
Okay, so 8, and then 25.
And then you're guessing the 30s?
33.
All right, well, I don't know how many points ever. I think Christian got 3. His numbers are 1, 2, 5, 6, 20, 30, and 34. Christian is in the lead with 7. Artie and Mart. Artie and
comeback, baby.
Artie and I like that. Artie and Mart.
I call Art Artie as a joke. Art
fine. And Artie, I don't mind 6. It.
All right, Artie. Well, you're beginning with this one, and it's Marcus Stroman. He has 4 jersey numbers. 3 are in the single digits, and 1 is in the 50s.
55. 1, 7, and 9.
Okay. Marty?
1, 5, 9, 52 for Ray Lewis.
Okay. And Christian?
For Ray Lewis. I'm going to go, let's go 54. 1. So we're all going in on 1. 1, 5 and 7.
Christian, you got that 54. That was the clincher. And then you got another one on top. His numbers are 0, which he currently wears, 6, 7, and 54. So we end the game with Christian having 9, Art having 7, and Marty, who was the betting favorite after round 1, if you live bet, coming in 3rd. So Christian, I'm not that advanced where I have the soundboard set up to give you the cheer. So I'm going to give you a little clap right now. Yay! That's that one person cheer. 15 seconds of yours is FaceTime. If you want to plug anything you're working on that's not between the scenes related, where they can find you on social media, all that good stuff.
You can find me at jchristianmack on most social medias. I'm much more active on Twitter than pretty much anything else. And I'm not that active on Twitter right now because, I don't know, I've just got crazy stuff going on. But I'm working on, so now that the season's a little bit more developed, I'm working on, if anyone's kept up with anything I've done, an IPA leaderboard, which is the stat I created. Hopefully I'll get that out sometime in the next little bit.
It's not Indian Pale Ale.
Not Indian. Not what Marty was drinking, no.
Mine was a fine Labatt
Pilsner. It is.
I can't drink the IPAs.
I can't either. We talked about this. Marty and I are both not IPA fans. Can't it's a ideal plate approach percentage. And so, yeah, that's something I'm working on. But right now, not a ton in the pipeline, still working. Marty and I are getting out an article pretty soon for our waiver wire review, I think, between the seams. And yeah. So, J. Christian Mack, that's where you can find me.
And congrats, Christian, on winning the game, joining a very prestigious group of people in the Triple Play community that have won, especially being 100%. If you decline a future invite because you want to keep that record perfect, I certainly understand. Marty, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Marty_Tallman. Do the Between the Seams with Mr. Mack every week, going through our waiver wire picks. We're always writing. I should have something coming up soon. I'm actually going to do an article on my experience in TGFBI so far. And then do 3 entries of that, a third of the way, for the season. You can also find my, Detroit Tigers work at Motor City Bengals, a fan-sided affiliated site, writing all about the Detroit Tigers, and hopefully their future comes a little bit brighter and a little bit sooner than we've all been hoping. But, that's where you can find me.
Yeah, and you can catch those two guys on our YouTube channel, Between the Seams, giving you waiver wire pickups each week. These guys really know baseball, and they're great young people in the community. And I say young, but I don't know Christian's age. Marty's older than me, so I sound like
I won't say what he is, but I know.
I'm a young boy.
I sound like a boomer myself saying that. And then Art, I want to plug the work that he's doing over at SP Streamer with his stolen base, catchers with stolen base upside. I think a lot of times that position is punted on, and Art puts in a lot of work because that's a good way to get steals and just to kind of keep a leg up on your competition. So Cheesecake, I did want to highlight that because you've been doing great work.
Thanks, man.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
And we will be back next week. Maybe David will be there. Maybe he won't. I think everybody's hoping he won't be. But I'm going to take his line, and we will be like a bread truck in all buns. Take care, everyone.